The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Interesting stuff here. We've got plenty to do tonight, Mafia, as the Seahawks actually went 3-and-out on that. So there you go. You got a 3-and-out for the Seahawks, and the Eagles are going to get the ball back here for their first drive of the second half. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates right now. Farrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty on a Monday night. And we've got a lot to do, Maf. We have the game going on. We have to talk about the Ravens and the Steelers getting moved again for, I think it's, is this the third time, Maf, I believe? So they went from Thursday to Sunday, Sunday to Monday, and now Monday to Wednesday. So we have our third move.
Well, Monday to Tuesday, that's Tuesday to Wednesday.
I mean,
Monday to,
that's, I mean, Sunday to Tuesday, and then Tuesday to Wednesday. So three moves for the Steeler-Raven game. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the NFC, one of the top five teams. The Seahawks are playing tonight, but there's a lot of issues, Mafia, with all those teams that are in the mix in the NFC. The final wild card, it seems like, in the NFC is back in play with Arizona losing a couple games. We've got an AFC playoff picture. We've got a lot of college football from the weekend. So we've got a lot to do, Mafia, it seems like, here on a Monday night.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you talked about that, the NFC teams. And I mean, I feel like we could have just cut out a bunch of the show last week that we did talking about how unreliable the NFC teams are and just played it again. And it would have just been, you know, as accurate. I mean, once again, LA has an incredible performance last week against the Bucs, and they go get beat up by, you know, the 49ers, who are playing their backup quarterback and have been decimated by injuries all year. I mean, you have Packers look incredible again all of a sudden after they were struggling for a couple of weeks. The Bucs look terrible against Kansas City, then all of a sudden come back and make it a game late because, you know, that's the way the NFL works. They love to make you cover and sweat. It was just insane throughout the NFC. And then, you know, even the not, you know, best teams overall, but the best teams in that NFC least changed hands a couple times again between Washington winning on Thursday and then the Giants, like, oh, this should be an easy game against Cincinnati. And then Daniel Jones gets hurt to make that crazy again. It's nuts.
Yeah, it really has been out of control what's gone on in the NFC. So we'll break down a little bit of that as well. Monday Night Football, Eagles about to get the ball. Hurts has not been out there as much as they thought. Burrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved on a Monday night. Eagles are at midfield, Mafia. Believe it or not, and they are moving here. They are on the move here. They're down to the 30. Their first drive of the second half, they were miserable in the first half, Mafia. I think I heard the halftime crew, the studio crew on ESPN, say they had less total yards in the first half than the Broncos actually did yesterday, which is hard to do considering they didn't have a quarterback. Wild stuff here. If the Eagles can come down and maybe make this a game. Seattle missed a lot of chances very early on. They went for a fourth and goal from the two on their first drive of the game. They went for another fourth down after that from about the 35 or 40 and didn't get it. So the Eagles have a chance to make this a football game, Mafia.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And that's what happens when you take chances like that and you don't put them in. When you don't make it count, when you leave all those points on the board, you leave the other team hanging in there, even though they shouldn't be, which we know they definitely should not be, Philadelphia. But it gives them life, gives them, you know, a little extra breathing room here. And like you said, I think it was, from what I saw, it was something like around 30 plays for 70-something yards. Whereas it basically broke down to 2.5 yards a play in the first half of the Eagles. So, you know, it's like the lowest they had all season. Pretty embarrassing overall, just pathetic. And then now all of a sudden, you left them hanging in this game. So they go in there feeling good that they're still in this. They have life, and they're coming out here, firing the ball a little bit and moving down the field. Might put some points up on the board to make this, you know, even tighter. I mean, if they get a touchdown, you know, it's a one-point game suddenly. And that's if they don't go for two to try to make up for that missed extra point before.
Which they will, because Peterson's, you know, he's nuts. He goes for two at the craziest times. I can't imagine that he wouldn't go for two even this early, but still, they still need to get in the end zone before any of that stuff is even on the table. But they are moving the ball good. We'll keep our eye on that. Let's start, Mafia, with the Ravens-Steelers fiasco here, which is what it's become. And listen, we know it's a COVID situation. We discussed this a lot last week before the Thanksgiving holiday. We now have a spot where the game's been moved again. Now the Ravens are going to get a couple of players back, seemingly, like Dobbins and Ingram, if they play on Wednesday. And this also moves the game they were going to have next week on Monday to Tuesday, which is going to allow them to have Lamar Jackson back for the Cowboy game. So things are starting to, you know, kind of turn in the Ravens' favor. There's been a lot of discussion today about how the NFL treated the Broncos on Sunday, not moving the game back for them when they didn't have a quarterback. And now they have moved heaven and earth a couple times here to make sure that the Ravens are good to go against the Steelers. Apparently the players, you know, were saying that they were going to boycott the game if they didn't get moved back another day. They hadn't practiced. There's a lot going on here, Mafia, but I think that what we all really need to keep in mind is that the NFL is really true. There's not like one uniform black line for everything to just look at, and this is how it is. It seems like it's a case-by-case basis, and that's why you saw what you saw yesterday in Denver, and you're seeing what you're seeing here with the Ravens.
Yeah, and, you know, the NFL plays their favorites. Obviously, we've seen that many times over. But like you said, it's never been that for the NFL, where it's just, this is how it is, this is what we'll do. If, you know, X happens, then Y is what the answer. Because even when they put out that whole domestic violence policy where they, you know, actually laid things out in black and white, you know, a couple of years ago, then you had like the first case pop up and they're like, actually, we're going to suspend him even more. It's like, wait a second. Didn't you just say this was going to happen? You know, they constantly do that where they make these policies and then they change them. Obviously, COVID was a very fluid one, but still, you know, to say that they have, you know, been fast and loose with how they decide this is, you know, putting it lightly, because the players for Baltimore saying, well, we're not going to play, makes them move it. Since when? Aren't they supposed to not answer to the players? The players answer to them. So they say, okay, well, then it's a forfeit. That's what you do. That's what should have happened. It should have been, oh, you don't want to play? Well, then it's a forfeit. Because you don't think if the Broncos players knew that was a possibility, they would have said, okay, well, we're going to boycott unless you want to let one of our guys play, or let's move it, you know, a day or two so one of our guys can clear it. Because that was something they tried to get happen. That was something the team wanted the NFL to do, was to move it back to tonight. Because then, you know, at least one of those quarterbacks wouldn't have been able to clean quarantine and been able to play. And the NFL said, no, they said, we will not let you do that. So how does it make sense that they are? I know that Baltimore has a much bigger case of an outbreak. And that's probably, right. You know, in the end, the biggest thing is them wanting to clear it to, you know, where there's no more tests. But the logic that they use in some cases and not others, which we already talked about last week, previously to this game being moved, is just baffling.
No, it really is. And it sets up a situation now, you know, because it's a domino of moves. You know, it's not just moving this game from Tuesday to Wednesday. It's next week's games that also get moves. So the Steelers Sunday game now is going to be played Monday. The Browns were going to play Monday against the Cowboys. That's going to be on Tuesday now. So it sets off a domino effect where, I just want to get the math right here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. The Steelers are going to be in a situation, Mafia, where they're going to play, and the Ravens are, actually, it's going to be one more day for them. They're going to play three games in 12 days now, the Steelers, because they're going to play Wednesday the 2nd, they're going to play Monday the 7th, and then they're going to play Sunday the 13th, which is a game in Buffalo, Sunday night game against the Bills. So, three games in 12 days for the 10-0 undefeated Steelers. You'd have to think, Mafia, that that's going to take its toll on even one of the best teams in the league.
Absolutely, and that's why they have a gripe that it's not fair, and I get why the NFL did it when they pushed it back. We talked about it last week. It wasn't just about, you know, you and your schedule. It was about, you know, keeping players safe, and we saw what happens. I mean, even not playing that game and not putting them on the field and taking that risk of putting them around Baltimore, you had one of the Steelers test positive, and it was the worst possible person to test positive in James Conner. Like, if there's one person on that team who you don't want having COVID, it's the guy who survived cancer and probably has, you know, a lesser immune system right now with the chemotherapy and things he had to go through. So, you know, it already struck there, even though they didn't play them. But it's just ridiculous how the Steelers' whole season has been, you know, screwed up because of this. I feel for them in that regard. You know, they got messed with the Titans situation. Now they're getting messed with Baltimore. Both situations, someone didn't follow protocol, didn't, you know, they broke the rules, and it cost the team, and they're the ones paying for it again. And it's just all about the NFL not wanting to add an extra week or two. Like, they made the schedule, and they said, okay, well, we can cancel this, or we can do this, but they didn't give themselves wiggle room to move things back, really, and it's costing the Steelers. Like, they don't want to make that extra week. Just make an extra week. I think we'd all enjoy an extra week of football instead of, you know, taking one of the best teams in the league and saying, well, this is going to affect you as negatively as possible, and we don't care. Deal with it.
And I want to look at it from this angle, too, because obviously this is why we're here. I mean, we're talking about putting action on this game, which is now going to be played on Wednesday. So the line is now, it has stayed here, even with the move, to 10.5, total of 40.5. So now they're going to get Dobbins and Ingram back. Look, it does change things a little bit. It's going to allow them to do a little bit more with their run game than they were going to be able to do previously. I don't know how much you trust RG3. I feel like, Mafia, this game could go one of two ways. The Steelers can be really mad, and they're at home, and the Ravens are obviously depleted, and they're going to come out, and they're just going to absolutely hammer them, like we kind of saw the Saints, you know, for all pretty much intents and purposes, hammer the Broncos in Denver on Sunday, or Mafia, and I'm kind of leaning this way. I got a feeling like this game could be kind of sloppy, you know, like a weird Wednesday, 3:40 in the afternoon, been waiting around to play the game. I feel like this could be a strange game where maybe taking that many points could be a good thing, because it just could be a game where both teams are like, let's try to get out of here as fast as possible. And it could be a close game with a lot of running plays, a lot of running the clock. I'm kind of looking at it from that angle.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be a sloppy game, because Baltimore is in practice in, what, a week at this point? And they're going to get one day of practice before they have to fly and travel and play in the same day. And the Steelers, I'm sure, you know, we're missing some time, you know, planning for the Thursday game. You know, take it easy at first. And I'm sure they're not like, all right, well, let's pad up and get it tough again, you know, when we have to push this back. They're not going to change their plans. So neither of these teams is doing what they usually do in preparation before a game like this against division rivals. So it's going to be sloppy without a doubt. And it's just going to be how sloppy is it. You know, it could be just sloppy where Baltimore has no idea what they're doing in ball, and Pittsburgh starts to pull away because they are the better team and in a better situation. But, you know, I liked Pittsburgh. As this game gets closer to it, I just don't know what to do, like you said, because there's so many factors screwing this up.
No, there really is. And I think it's a I really don't like playing unders with a game of 40.5, but it might be the time to play that. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. We keep rolling right after this.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. Eagles are challenging a play right now. Seahawks are up 14-9. DK Metcalf catch. Now, I don't have the volume. I would assume that they're challenging that he fumbled. I mean, his knee was down, not a fumble. I actually kind of thought, and I was saying to Mafia in the break, that maybe you could challenge it for incomplete because the ball was maybe kind of moving a little bit, and you could say he didn't complete the catch, but I'm assuming he's probably challenging that it was the fumble, which it wasn't. I would think, Mafia, that the Seahawks are going to keep this football.
Yeah, the only thing that you could possibly, like you said, get, you know, change is that they didn't get the catch, and I don't agree with that. I think that he caught the ball, he had possession of it, brought it to the chest, and it doesn't start to move until the knee's already down, so that counts as a catch to me. And, you know, the ninth one for DK Metcalf, because apparently they still haven't figured out that they're going to throw the ball to this guy yet. I don't know what Philadelphia is doing there, but another play. We'll see, because, you know, all the time, how many times have we watched plays and, you know, we sit there and say, oh, yeah, it's definitely doing this, and then for some reason, because it's the NFL, they'll change it. And they want close games, they want tight games, they want to mess with bettors. They're going to flip it, it's going to be an Eagles ball, and they're going to come down and take the lead in this game.
Yeah, let's hope not. I hope they keep it with the Seahawks right here. We want to get some of our Seahawk props in the mix, and we want them to cover that 6.5 as well. There is also, Mafia, a lot of college basketball going on tonight. Heavy schedule now nightly in college hoops. The Maui Invitational is underway. And as we know, Mafia, they're not in Maui. They're playing the Maui Invitational in North Carolina. So not the same for these schools that were supposed to be out in Hawaii for the Maui Invitational. But Texas beat Davidson. Indiana beat Providence. Going on right now, Stanford up on Alabama. That's a little bit of a surprise. Alabama was 2.5-point favorite. Good team. And the other game, North Carolina beat UNLV 78-51. I think they were down 13-0 in that game. And one more for you, Mafia, from college basketball, because this has a little flavor for you and a little flavor for a lot of the guys here at Sports Grid. And that is the Seton Hall Iona game. Patino's first game as the Gales head coach, and they were getting a lot of wood tonight, Mafia. I think it was like 20 or somewhere in that range was the point spread. And the Gales are hanging in 56-47 Seton Hall, Mafia, in the second half. How about that?
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of crazy games, as we've seen in the beginning of this college basketball season, because I know Seton Hall is one of those teams that had their program shut down for, I think, 2 weeks because of positive tests and had a couple of games that were in question at the beginning of the season. I know they were supposed to play Baylor, I think, yesterday or sometime, you know, in these couple of games, and that was moved because of all the issues they've had. So, you know, it's just a lot of things going on with college basketball where it's wacky because some teams are prepared, some aren't. You know, who can play, who can't, just like we've seen in college football, just like we've seen in the NFL. It's just a weird season overall in sports. You know, we've seen Villanova how many times now, like, have a game where they're supposed to, you know, just win easily, win by double digits, and it's either down to the wire or, you know, they had the overtime one on Saturday night. So college basketball is crazy this year.
It really is, and there's a lot of fun games coming up. I know tomorrow night you've got some monster games. I believe it's Kentucky is playing Kansas and Gonzaga and Michigan State. I think if I'm right, those are the four teams playing in that Champions Classic. So two really good games tomorrow night. I know Gonzaga plays Baylor on Saturday, I think. So there's a bunch of really good games. The Seahawks did keep that ball. It is now third and four, Mafia, and under 3 minutes left to go now in the third quarter. We'll see if the Seahawks can pick this up and keep moving, and they do not. They are short. Wow. Isn't it me and Mafia on the same stream here, too, with the game? Are we both at the same moment, Mafia? Do we see that at the same time?
I believe so, rare, so far.
Wow.
That'll change, I'm sure, in the next, like, half hour. Someone will lag.
Yeah, somebody will lag.
Be 5 minutes behind.
But as of now, we're in the same spot. And if I'm hopefully the Seahawks are going to kick, and they are. So that'll get us back over the cover number if they can make this. Our man Jason Myers, who, of course, is 12 of 12 this year. And you know what that means when they show that, Mafia.
Yeah. He's going to miss it wide.
Isn't that how it always goes?
Lucky 13, though. He nails it.
There we go. So the Seahawks are back up now, 17-9, 8-point lead. 2 minutes to go in the third. We want more points in this game. I did not play the over or the under because I didn't want to trust the Eagles in scoring any points. But the Eagle D has actually showed up a little bit here, too. And that'll get us, Mafia, maybe into the NFC a little bit. We've talked about this last week, how I'm not sure right now who's the team in the NFC that I really want to back. You know, the Saints are clearly the number one seed, and they're the favorite right now on FanDuel to win the NFC. And then you've got four teams along with them, with Seahawks who are playing tonight. The warts with them seem to be that their defense in a big spot, not very good, although they've played better recently. The Bucks, as we have seen, have a ton of issues, whether it's the way Brady throws the ball sometimes. Their defense has been spotty, got burned by the Chiefs, but that can happen to everybody yesterday. The Rams, every time you think the Rams are good, they go and lose a game like yesterday to the 49ers. And then you have the Packers, Mafia, who win again last night. They seem like they would be, you know, the top contender with the Saints, but I feel like every time we've seen the Packers be in a big spot, like last week we talked about how they lost to the Colts, that they kind of can falter. And they beating up on the Bears doesn't really get me going too much. So you've got these five teams in the NFC. And as we hit the stretch run here into December, I'm still not sure, Mafia, which one of these five is going to come out and be the team in the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. We said it last week. We'll say it again because it comes true once again. Every time you start believing in someone, they choke and they're terrible. And I think a lot of that is because, you know, for the most part, none of those teams play any damn defense. You know, Seattle can't cover anybody. Green Bay can't cover anybody. Tampa Bay can't cover anybody. You know, the only ones who have somewhat of a defense, you know, at least coverage-wise, I guess, is the Rams with Ramsey back there. But still, you know, they give up points and all of a sudden the offense that'll go high-flying and rip-roaring and scoring all these points will struggle and they'll have issues. And that's what, you know, I think that's the thing for them is more so the offense inconsistent than the defense. And the other ones, mostly the defense. I mean, obviously Brady's had his struggles on offense as well, but we know Green Bay and Seattle have not had problems scoring points. That has not been an issue for them whatsoever. So it's just crazy. You know, the NFC for so long, I feel like historically it was, you know, kind of like the SEC where it's tough defenses and you know, maybe not so much the high flying offense. You know, you might win a lot more close, tight games. And it's going to get, you know, bloody, grimy, and, you know, be one in the trenches. And then the AFC was kind of the more all over the place. But right now, the NFC got teams that are scoring points left and right, and they just won't stop anybody. So if they don't win in a shootout, they don't win.
Yeah, and right now, they don't have the NFC odds to win up at FanDuel because the Seahawks and the Eagles are playing right now, so they took it down. But if you just go by who they have to win the Super Bowl from NFC teams, the Saints are plus 550, so they would be first to win the NFC, followed by Seattle, Green Bay, Tampa, and the Rams. I feel like if you mixed bag any of those teams in any building, I feel like they could beat each other. Like, that's just kind of how, even in New Orleans, I feel like any of these teams could go to New Orleans in January and end up beating them. Like, weird things happen to the Saints in the playoff, right? I mean, you would think you want to see that eventually stop. I mean, it's kind of goofy. It's like a, you know, it's some of it's fluky stuff. What happened in Minnesota? What happened with the phantom pass interference call against the Rams? They lose to the Vikings at home last year. Like, they've had weird things happen to them in the playoffs the last few years. But I'll tell you this, Moff, watching them yesterday, they better get Breeze back because they ain't winning like that. They played a team with no quarterback yesterday, but that's a good D. I know they scored points, but they can't run that offense and expect to go to the Super Bowl. They're going to need Breeze back, and I know that they have these hopes and dreams of 2 or 3 weeks with the cracked ribs and the collapsed lung. They better hope he comes back healthy because I don't think that the way the Saints are playing on OI, and here's another one that bothers you, Mafia, especially if you're a fantasy guy with Alvin Kamara. He don't exist with Hill in there. I mean, he might as well not even be on the team. He needs Breeze back in the worst way, too, because Kamara basically is not even part of the offense when Taysom Hill is running it.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You know, it's like they want to run Hill more than they want to run Kamara. And Kamara's, I know, you know, Hill's nice. He's fun. He's, you know, can make some things happen. But Kamara is more dynamic and the best player on that team. You know, even better than Michael Thomas, I would say. Michael Thomas is an incredible receiver, but Kamara does it, you know, running and catching and everything. So to kind of have him not so much in the game plan is very baffling to me. It's a weird team with the Saints because, you know, they have a good defense, and then sometimes they'll just let up a bunch of points like nowhere, you know. And you'll have other games where, you know, their all-world offense just suddenly can't score. They're just inconsistent on both sides of the ball as opposed to some of these NFC teams that are inconsistent on one. And it's just really, what is the answer for them, you know, to me? Because you're saying you're not going to win with Hill running it. You know, there's a lot of weeks this season we're saying, well, you're not going to win with Breeze playing the way he is. You know, so what is it? Does it have to be like a complete hybrid of the two? Is it you have to go one way or the other and just live or die by that guy? Or I don't know what the answer is going to be for Peyton.
Yeah, and it's hard to say because they are 2-0 now with Breeze out. But, I mean, it's against the Falcons and against the Broncos who didn't have a quarterback. So
yeah, they won 3 out of 4 last year with Teddy Bridgewater starting?
They did. I think they won every game with Teddy out. Believe you. I think every game he started, they won. They lost the game where he came in relief. But still, I think the Saints are going to need Breeze back if they're going to make some real noise. End of the third quarter now in Philadelphia, 17-9. Really weird. The last two times these teams have played, playoffs last year and the regular season, the final scores were 17-9. That's pretty bizarre. Weird, wild stuff between the Seahawks and the Eagles as they go to the fourth quarter. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia with you in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. We've mentioned 5 teams in the NFC. 2 other teams are going to make it, and it's going to be a mess trying to figure out who that's going to be. We'll try to dive into that a little bit and figure it out. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. Pharrell on the bench rolls on right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. Eagles going for it on 4th down here at midfield. Where are they? Trying to draw him off. They do go for it. He snaps it. And they do not get it. Knocked down. So the Seahawks will take over at midfield. 13.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. 17-9 game. If you are a Seahawk backer, you're looking for a big touchdown here to give you some breathing room in the fourth quarter, because it's just a little too tight right now. If you're laying 6.5, which it was before game time tonight, a lot of 4.5s and 5.5s throughout the week leading up to it. So you're looking for some space, and you're hoping that Russell Wilson, and maybe it would be nice, Mafia, if it was to DK Metcalf. I wouldn't mind, actually, a Carlos Hyde touchdown either, Mafia. I forgot that I had him to score, but Carson's been getting a lot of the work now that he's off the IR, you know, back in the mix tonight. So Carson does have a touchdown. Maybe Hyde can slide in there and get one as well. So we'll keep an eye on the NFL. We mentioned Mafia. We talk about those 5 teams, and it's like a given. Those 5 teams are going to be in the playoffs in the NFC. There's just no way around it. They all got 7-plus wins right now. They're all going to get in. It just depends on what the order is going to be. There are still 2 other spots in the NFC. Now, one of them is the NFC East. Eagles are playing tonight. They have 3 wins, and they have the tie, which is tricky. which could help them. We'll see how it goes down the stretch. And then you have the Giants and Washington football team, both with 4 wins. They both win this weekend. Washington, of course, on Thanksgiving in Dallas. Giants get the win in Cincinnati. If the Eagles lose this game, the Giants will be in first place based on the tiebreaker. Washington will be right behind them. They'll both have 4 wins, and the Eagles will have 3. And down the stretch they come. These schedules, I mentioned a lot last week, and the Cowboys really let me down. The Giants, here's the other problem for the Giants Mafia. Probably not going to have Daniel Jones at least this week in Seattle, and maybe longer. I feel like the Giants are playing the best, and Washington's playing pretty good too. You got to take what they did on Thursday and respect that. I feel like the Giants are playing the best, but man, they can't win games with Colt McCoy playing quarterback. I just don't see how they can, Moff.
No, no one can win games with Colt McCoy playing quarterback. That's why he's a backup for most of his NFL career. I mean, the thing with that division is another one. Just like the NFC in general, it's so hard to handicap because you believe in one team and all of a sudden they let you down. Last week we were on here and I was talking about the Cowboys have the most talent. The Cowboys have the easiest schedule. I think the Cowboys are going to get it together. And then they lay a complete egg at home on Thanksgiving against Washington. I mean, come on. If there's any prime time position for them to take grasp of this division and start to pull away and get control of it and do what we expect them to do this year, it was Thanksgiving, and they just completely laid down and let Washington destroy them. I mean, some of those things they were doing were just pathetic. And as much as I wanted Mike McCarthy as the Jets coach, 2 years ago when they didn't hire him, yes, I start to question what the heck they're doing with him as coach right now. You talked about it on the show with Blewett, and I know he talked about it with Cousin Sal, who's a big Cowboy fan. It's like, do you still keep McCarthy? Because some of the decisions he's making, you're looking at him like, what the hell are you doing? That fourth down they tried. I mean, that's something some 7-year-old in Madden tries, not something an NFL coach who actually knows what he's going to do, throws out there deep in his own end to screw up the game and just really give it away. So, I mean, I guess Washington, by the merits of the Cowboys being dumb and the Giants having Daniel Jones probably out for a couple games, is the clear leader right now. And you got a guy in Ron Rivera who's an experienced NFL coach, has won as a player, has gotten to the Super Bowl as a coach, knows what he's doing. You have a guy in Alex Smith at quarterback now with the injuries and sitting Haskins, who has been there before, has been to Super Bowls, knows what he's doing. So I guess it's a situation that now they are the clear-cut favorites at this point.
I just have
they have a good defense, Seattle. Too.
They do have a good defense. They got to still play Seattle, the Ravens, Arizona, who we're going to get to in a moment. They do play Dallas one more time. So, that could be a good thing. And I believe they play Cleveland as well. So, those are not like, it's not like they have another Cincinnati coming up on the schedule. It's going to be tough. And let me tell you, Mav, DK Metcalf just made another unbelievable grab to give the Seahawks a first down down in the red zone. Looks like they're around the 20. What a grab by this guy. He is having a monster night. Props to Mike Blewett, who filled in for Pharrell today on Coast to Coast. He said, take the Metcalf over 5.5 catches. Take him over the yards, which went down to 69.5. He's having a monster night. But Mafia, can they please pay it off with the cherry on top and get him a touchdown here to end the night? The guy's having a monster night. Can we get him in the end zone too, please?
Yeah, my fantasy team would greatly appreciate if they could do that. I need him to put some points up here.
I mean, seriously. Bobo, is that Hyde? Oh, this is even better, Mafia. Carlos Hyde with the touchdown. I had
no,
tonight,
not.
Mafia.
It's not better.
No, it's not. Oh, no. No. You've got to be kidding me. Holding. Oh, my goodness. That is a crusher. That is a crusher. Moff, I had the Carlos Hyde, Dallas Goedert touchdown parlay tonight. Those were the two guys I picked to do a touchdown parlay with. And Hyde, who I didn't think was going to get any burn with Carson back in the mix. And sure enough, Hyde goes to the end to the sideline. Carson comes in. Mafia, I'm distraught right now. I'm sorry. Please.
I mean, what'd you expect? Of course they're going to bring in the main guy. And you're not going to keep running with this guy. He's one that's going to spell you every now and then. But, I mean, they've been waiting for Carson to come back for weeks. So of course he's going to be on these biggest plays. You know, especially now they back themselves up. You need more of a, you know, pass catching running back in this situation. It's got to be him. You're not going to throw Hyde out there for that.
But at least we get DK, and then DK drops one in the end zone. I mean, you talk about two swings, Mafia, of needing guys with touchdown props. Carlos Hyde gets one, and now this guy drops it in the end zone. I mean, are you kidding me?
I blame you.
Are you kidding me? It's like right as... Oh, my... What is happening here, Moff? Is this really happening right now?
Continuation of the weekend.
Really good prop bets that could have just hit here. And now he's on the sideline too. So Hyde runs one in, gets a holding call. Now he's on the sideline. Metcalf drops one. He's on the sideline. Now Hyde is back on the field. But you think he's going to bust off another 20 yard? There it is. Get Hyde in there. Pay it off, Mafia. He's not going to make it to the end.
DK got away with the offensive pass interference on that too.
Jeez, I'm annoyed now. Oh, that is brutal. Absolutely brutal. To have that happen two plays in a row where you think you're hitting a nice anytime touchdown prop, had a parlay with Goddard and Hyde, that gets washed away. I have Metcalf and that dopey odds boost to with the Seahawks to win. He drops one in the end zone, and now I got to sit here with a field goal and have to sweat this out that now if the Eagles score a touchdown, you still might not cover. This is just as bad as it gets right now, Mafia. I'm sorry. I'm way off the tracks now here. Let's get back to something. This game is really bothering me now. Okay, is I was going to say, yes, it's bothering
me. Had it so well.
Arizona, loss at Foxborough, puts them in a very tricky situation. They are 6-5. They are the last wild card in the NFC. I thought that this was going to be a done deal. I didn't think any of these other teams could get back in the mix. But Arizona, because they've lost two in a row, are now in a situation where, you know, I still think they're going to get in because you have 3-5-6 teams that are one game out. I think that we could both agree. I don't have a lot of faith in the Bears and the Vikings to overtake Arizona for that last spot. Like, I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in either of those teams. I don't think that Arizona would play that poorly to where one of those two teams could catch him. Would you agree with me on that front?
Yes, I would agree with you. You know, despite Matt Nagy having faith in Mitchell Trubisky, I certainly do not. And I also don't have faith in Nick Foles. I mean, I was amazed that they put up 25 points yesterday with Mitch in there, but I have no qualms about them making the playoffs. I know for sure they are, you know, unless, you know, short of the arm falling off of your boy in Arizona, I think that they will, you know, get themselves back in track and get in the playoffs.
There's one team in that 5-6 mix that I would still give a little bit of a chance to, and that's the 49ers. Their problem is that they've still got Nick Mullins playing quarterback, and I'm not sure if the Jimmy G return is happening in the next couple of weeks, but the Niners are 5-6. They're home against the, well, they're not even home anymore. This is another problem for the 49ers. They don't have a home. They're going to go play in Arizona the next few weeks. They have a home game against the Bills. A home game against Washington, at Dallas, at Arizona, could be a huge game, and they finish at home against the Seahawks. They're at 5 right now. Could they get to 9? They'd have to play really well, really well. I obviously hope they don't win on Monday, but they've got a couple of winnable games in there. What does Arizona have left, Mafia? Let's just look here really fast. Arizona has the Rams, the Giants, Eagles, the Cardinal game, the 49er game we mentioned. And then the Rams again. So Arizona plays the Rams twice, play the Giants, play the Eagles, and they play the Niners. They have 6 right now. I think that's going to be tighter than we think, Mafia. I don't know if Arizona is going to win a bunch of these games down the stretch. That could go down to that Arizona-Niner game in Week 16 on a Saturday that they just announced today. That could be an enormous game for that last wild card spot in the NFC.
That definitely could, but I think that Arizona, like you said, having the Giants and the Eagles kind of gives you a good position right there. If it was a situation where they had to play, you know, someone else, where they had to play, you know, the Bears, even if they had to play the Bears or play, you know, someone a little tougher than that, I would worry about them a little more. But even though these teams keep trading off who's, you know, the first in that division, none of them are really first in anybody's minds of anything. So I think Arizona should have their way with him, especially if you have a situation where Daniel Jones is out, or especially if Wentz continues to struggle, and also you have Jalen Hurts making his first start at some point on, you know, for that Eagles team. I think Arizona's, you know, comfortable with that schedule.
And I'm interested to see, usually on Tuesday, FanDuel puts back up the to make or miss the playoff props for these teams. I'd be interested to see what the 49er one is to make the playoffs. I think that if there could be a little bit of value there. Just because the way Arizona played yesterday bothered me. And I think that Murray's a little banged up. And they don't have any time to sit down and let him rest. Because they got another huge one with the Rams coming up next week. So I'm going to be interested in that little prop there. And Wentz takes a sack here now, Mafia. So 11 minutes left to go. Second down and long it's going to be for the Eagles. We got an 11-point game, 20-9. We are all upset about what just happened the last Seahawk drive with Hyde and with Metcalf. And now we're going to look for the Seahawk defense, which usually isn't pretty. Jamal Adams, your boy, Mafia. That's Mafia's guy, Jamal Adams, making a big sack of cards. You love Jamal, Mafia. Come on. One of your favorite
loved
players in the
with
league.
With a D. Loved Jamal Adams. Now he's a traitor and a backstabber, and I wish him nothing but bad luck.
Yeah, he's your guy. We know how much Jet fans love Jamal Adams, one of the all-time greats. And we haven't seen Hurts in a while yet either, Mafia. That was a big scam that they basically
all
did. All smoke and mirrors to basically try to fool the Seahawks. Yeah, we're going to play Hurts a bunch this week. Sure you are. Never happened whatsoever. Nice job. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We've got Eagles and Seahawks coming down to the end. Maybe we can get Hyde and Metcalf back on the field. We've got a lot more to do. We will wrap up hour number one right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The Eagles got down the field due to a very phantom pass interference call though on the Seattle Seahawks. We can see where my allegiances are lying right now. It was a phantom call. Horrible call. It is 4th and 4. Interesting spot here, Mafia. 4th and 4. You're down 11. I mean, you're on the 15. There's still 8.5 minutes to go. And Peterson's going for this here. A field goal gets you back to a one-score game. And he throws a pick. Listen, Peterson, Mafia, he's been getting a lot of heat. He can't defend this one. That is an awful decision by him. A field goal makes it, what, 20-12? It's a one-score game with 8.5 minutes to go. Why is he going there, Mafia? I don't understand what Peterson's doing.
I guess he's feeling the pressure, knowing that he needs to, you know, just go for it and not, every possession for them is very limited right now. You're not going to take a situation where you say, okay, I can take a couple points here. I think we get the ball back and we're going to score. Like, you really have to believe in your team to do that, and he doesn't. And we see why, because Wentz makes a throw that is one of the worst interceptions I've seen all season. Like, where was he throwing that to? His nearest receiver was 10 yards upfield. He just throws it into an empty spot in the end zone where there's only Seahawks standing there. I mean, you might see, you know, some house cleaning here in Philadelphia at the end of the season. You might see Peterson gone, and I have to look at that Wentz contract to see how much they still have to eat on that, because you might have a change in the guard with this guy.
They showed it on ESPN before, in either the pregame or in the first quarter. It would actually be the count against the cap, like $50 million, Mafia, if he's not on the team next year. So guess what?
He's your backup.
He's going to be... Carson Wentz is going to be on the team next year. I cannot believe Peterson went for that. Down 11. He can make that a one-score game, get it to 8. He is going to get roasted. He's already been getting roasted in Philly. He's really going to get roasted after that one. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. Pharrell on the bench, 844-843-6879. We get hour two rolling right after this.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.